I'm Katie Talarski for WNPR News. It's hard to imagine the city of New Britain in its heyday, a packed downtown with 35,000 workers. Through the mid-20th century, an influx of immigrants arrived to work in the factories. I explored the history of what was once known as the hardware city of the world and the people who worked there. You can barely find the Industrial Museum in downtown New Britain. It's tucked back on the second floor of an office building, a small space jam-packed with old household goods, tools, maps, and treasures that tell the story of a city that at one time was absolutely a center of industry.
It's not that New Britain is better or different than anybody else. This story has been played over and over and over across America for 200 years. What I think sets New Britain apart is the five different industries.
Karen Hudkins is the powerhouse behind the New Britain Industrial Museum. She knows the story of the city by heart. I talked to her just after she had given a museum tour to a group of what looked like high school kids. This is a spiel she's given many, many times.
It's ball bearings, it's household goods, Landersferry and Clark, kitchen implements, North and Judd making buckles and clips and things like that. It's tools made by New Britain Machine Tools, Stanley Roll and Level hand tools. It's manufacturing machines, New Britain Machine, which were sold all over the world. And it was builder's hardware.
Five industries that at their height in the mid-20th century employed 35,000 people. Today, Stanley is the lone survivor still in New Britain. But remnants like doorknobs, hinges, and ball bearings are still found all over the world.
It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around all these numbers. You know, it just becomes, you know, you hear, yes, New Britain's the hardware city of the world. Well, what does that really mean? Well, I think Corbin and Russell and Irwin are a good example of that because they made builder's hardware. And by the late 1800s, Corbin's selling doorknobs to a guy named Klaus Spreckels because he's putting up an office building in San Francisco in the 1890s. And it's filled with Corbin hardware. During the Depression, they get the contract for Rockefeller Center. Think how many doorknobs that is. And then at the other end of the century, actually, the architects who put up the World Trade Center came to this area for the hardware. And Russell and Irwin and Corbin did hardware for the executive suites. And Stanley actually did the architectural hinges.
Then my grandfather, on my father's side, worked in Landers. And he worked in a foundry.
Ed Prendergast spent time working at Stanley in the 1960s.
My father graduated, or I guess you call it graduated, out of eighth grade or ninth grade, whatever it was, and he went to the factory.
Prendergast said that families had loyalties to certain factories, but there were plenty of jobs to go around.
People have said that you could get laid off or fired from a job in the morning, walk down the street, and be hired after lunch somewhere else. So it was, you know, jobs were plentiful and available.
But it was hard work. The goal of many families was to work hard so that the next generation wouldn't have to spend long hours in a factory.
My father always drummed into me, don't get in the factory. Many of the people who worked laborers in a factory would tell their children that. That was their goal, was to get the next generation out in somewhere else. It was kind of not a very pleasant place to work.
But many people like Tina Langevin worked in the factories for years and enjoyed it. She worked at Stanley from 1981 to 1999. Conditions had improved since the 60s. She said she loved her job.
I think we did a darn good job, myself, the people that I've worked with through the years, what we did, what we put out, what we made. I mean, it means something to me. I know I made a difference. I did something. And I can always look back at that and take some of what I've learned with me. Like I say, I can hang a door. I can change a lot, you know. And I'm proud that how many women can do that.
Karen Hudkins, director of the New Britain Industrial Museum, collects people's stories as much as she collects paraphernalia. Many of the former factory workers volunteer for her as docents. They want to keep the history alive as much as she does.
As all communities struggle with what their identity is in the 21st century and post-industrialist, we have to remember, particularly in New Britain, that it was people who built all this, and it is going to be the people who figure out what is going to make us strong and successful in the 21st century. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Hudkins said that's what happens when we become disconnected from our own history. For WNPR, I'm Katie Talarski.